Hello, my name is David Webb, and this is an introduction to the module Knowledge and Politics, which forms part of the MA in Continental Philosophy at Staffordshire University. And the MA is run and available entirely by distance learning. Now, in the broadest terms, the module Knowledge and Politics is about the relation between rationality and how we order our lives collectively and individually. To be more specific, it concerns French epistemology and the way theories of knowledge developed in the mid and late 20th century shaped ethical and political discourse and practice in the late 20th century and the early 21st century. This year, the course will focus in particular on the concept of critique in the work of Michel Foucault and its relation to ethics and politics. And the idea is with these podcasts that you can follow some of the materials that we provide for our students here through the podcast, and you can follow some of the ideas through the module as we go along. Now, Foucault's work is too extensive and diverse for it to be possible for us to engage all of it in a single module such as this. Now, one option is to focus on a particular text or a particular period, but I've decided to take a different approach here. My aim is to trace Foucault's engagement with what was, I think most people would agree, an important problem for him, namely, the problem of critique. Now, critical philosophy in its modern form originates in the work of Kant, who, in the Critique of Pure Reason, set out to demonstrate the limits proper to knowledge and the use of our understanding. This involved shifting our attention from experience to the conditions of experience, from what we think we know to the conditions of that knowledge. Correctly determined, these conditions then allow us to see more clearly what can be reliably based on them, and equally, what cannot. Now, this model of critique has undergone many variations, and in Foucault, we find another. For Kant, the conditions of knowledge and experience are universal, transcendental, and lie outside of space and time. Philosophers such as Hegel diverged from Kant's view and instead regarded the conditions of knowledge as historical. Though this history was itself, in a sense, universal and oriented towards a final, all-encompassing form. Foucault too treats the conditions of knowledge as historical, but for him, the historical character is always local and contingent. That is, specific forms of knowledge and experience are conditioned by their own very specific histories. These histories are discursive, which is to say that they have to do with rules that to some extent determine what can be said, thought, and done in specific contexts, by whom, and with what consequences. Perhaps surprisingly, these histories are irreducible to the material conditions of a society and culture, by which I mean that they are not simply histories of economic conditions, political events, cultural developments, or social conventions. As a consequence, the kind of critique Foucault proposes is unlike a sociology of knowledge, a history of ideas, or most other forms of social and political history. This will, I hope, become clearer as we go along through the course, in part by virtue of the approach to the question of critique that we'll take as we go along. Foucault is well known for his work on institutions such as the asylum, the hospital, and the prison, and for his proposal that their operation cannot be separated from particular branches of knowledge and forms of rationality. He's been widely admired for this, but his work has also drawn criticism for not providing sufficient normative guidance. On this view, if you take this view, on this view, he's good at telling us what is wrong, but not so good at telling us what is right. Worse, if you take this view, his evident offence at practices of institutional exclusion may not appear consistent with the descriptive character of his analyses. This critique is encapsulated well by Nancy Fraser in her chapter Foucault on Modern Power, Empirical Insights and Normative Confusions, in her book Unruly Practices, Power, Discourse and Gender in Contemporary Social Theory. Although I want to propose that one can draw a good response from Foucault's work to the difficulty Fraser identifies, her analysis provides a helpful point of departure in many ways. The theme of critique and critical philosophy punctuates Foucault's work from beginning to end. His supplementary doctoral thesis was on Kant's anthropology, and two of his final works were addressed to critique. We'll focus on two stages and the transition between them. First, we'll look at the form of analysis that Foucault called archaeology. Then we'll look at how this changed as the focus in his later writing shifted from knowledge to truth, and in addition, how his later articulation of critique is linked to his work on ethics as a practice of the care of the self. However, before we get to Foucault, we'll spend some time looking at the idea of historical epistemology, a distinctive approach to the theory of knowledge characteristic of French philosophy. We'll spend time also looking at the work of Gaston Bachelard, the influential philosopher of science, who also wrote extensively and beautifully about the poetic imagination. And we'll spend a week on the work of Georges Canguilhem, the philosopher and historian of science and medicine. The reason for beginning with Bachelard is that I think an understanding of his work is necessary if one is to see what Foucault is doing and how his work intersects with critical philosophy. Scientific rationality, according to Bachelard, is constructive. That is, science creates new realities rather than simply describing what there is. But because Bachelard regards scientific rationality as essentially practical, rationality at work on a specific problem, it is also directly transformative. These two characteristics are, I propose, reproduced in what is, in other respects, the very different contexts of Foucault's conception of critique. However, in this module, I also want to explore the possibility that there remains a gap or blind spot of a certain kind in Foucault's writing. One that concerns the way the practice of critique actually determines the next step one chooses to take. For Bachelard, it is reasonably clear what constitutes the clarification of a problem, and the practice of rationality consists in conceptual innovation and varying the parameters of an experimental setup. When all this concerns how we think about some aspect of the material world, for example, the behaviour of elementary particles, what is at stake remains relatively distant from the experience of the subject engaged in the critical practice. But this is no longer the case when the problem concerns the conditions of one's own conduct towards others and towards oneself. Ironically, it may be a part of what Foucault takes from Bachelard that also makes this a difficulty for him. For the priority Bachelard gives to the constructive power of rationality over sensibility may create problems in evaluating the effects of that. In evaluating the effects that, according to Foucault, power and knowledge have on the body. By this, I mean that if critique transforms the conditions of our experience, we need some way to decide what changes are preferable. And it's hard to see how such a decision can ignore the physical experience of being in a certain specific situation and engaging in specific relations with others and with oneself. There are necessarily constraints here, and they seem to be felt as much as they are thought. To prepare a possible response to this problem, we'll look briefly at the work of Georges Conquillet, who was an important figure for Foucault and for many of his generation. He is known for his work on health and normativity, by which he means the capacity of individual beings to determine their own, inverted commas, normal, understood as the way that a being negotiates its physical and social environment in order to meet its needs. We'll then take the insights we gain there back to Foucault to look again at his conception of critique, and in particular at ethics as a critical engagement with the rules constituting what he calls regimes of truth. So that is a little potted outline of what's coming up on this course, and you'll be welcome to follow the notes through week by week if you like. As I explained at the beginning, they form part of what is available to students on the MA in Continental Philosophy, who will also benefit from a few other additional things that we do together. But it gives you an insight into what we do on the programme, and I hope you find them interesting.